Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on how shared decision making can be successfully integrated to optimize care of patients with high risk early breast cancer. Leading breast cancer specialists within an MDT plus an early breast cancer survivor share their perspectives on the importance of shared decision making, evidence for its effect on patient outcomes, and addressing the challenges of shared decision-making in daily practice. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Eli Lilly. In this podcast, an oncology surgeon and a medical oncologist discuss the challenges around implementing shared decision-making and how they can be overcome. Plus, an early breast cancer survivor recounts her own experiences of the challenges faced with shared decision-making during her breast cancer journey.
Hello, my name is Michael Kvant. I'm a professor of surgery at the Medical University of Vienna in Vienna, Austria. And I'm joined today by Professor Fran Boyle, professor of medical oncology and director of the Patricia Ricci Center for Cancer Care and Research at the University of Sydney in Australia, and by Ms. Evelyn Ong, who is a breast cancer survivor from Singapore and Republic of Singapore. In this section, we will discuss the question, what are the challenges around implementing shared decision-making for patients with early breast cancer and how they can be overcome? So thank you to both of you for joining me in this program. Obviously, we have challenges that are in the system on the side of the caregivers, but we might also face challenges for shared decision-making from a patient's perspective, cultural background and everything. And this is why I would like to start with Evelyn, who actually has produced a number of excellent YouTube videos that I watched. And I have to say that this is so important and brave to come out and to encourage fellow patients with your own story. But maybe focusing on the challenges for shared decision making, what in your view are the main restrictions, hinderings and challenges from a perspective of the patient, of patient's family, maybe cultural or even religious background? Can you share your thoughts on this with us, Evelyn?
Sure, I'll share my story. Well, as you understand, the entire cancer treatment involves a lot of many clinicians. And I do not have, in my corporate world, what we call a project manager to sort of manages the entire treatment plan. The patient, from my experience, the patient is the one who takes on this role to understand what each different clinician has to say, the information that they provide, and then ultimately use this information that's provided to make an informed decision. This is a big group of people. In my entire journey, I have to see my breast surgeon, my oncologist, my cardiologist, my gynecologist. I also have an infectious disease doctor because I developed shingles. I have plastic surgeon because of my mastectomy and reconstruction. I have my oncologist nurses, physiotherapist, as well as an A&E doctor. So everyone has a different role to play in my entire journey. And sometimes it's challenging because not everyone talks to each other. So when that happens, there is a mismatch, or rather they have to re-explain the entire situation to the other doctor in order for them to decide on the best care treatment for me.
Well, thank you, Evelyn, for sharing your experience. I think that's one of the challenges we face, that sometimes the patient is actually used as the reporting vehicle between doctors. Professor Boyle, what can be, you have done also quite some research in the field, and you are using patient decision aiding tools. What are the barriers you have experienced or you think are most important on the caregiver side to implement shared decision-making as a standard of care?
Thanks very much, Michael. And yes, we have some experience with one of my oncology colleagues who piloted, tested, and has now made available online a decision aid for women considering neoadjuvant therapy ahead of their surgery. And what we identified with that was that we needed to present the information in lots of different ways. So in writing, through graphs and through pictorial representations. Some people are visual learners, some people are used to processing lots of text, and also to have the opportunity to have a decision aid available in a paper version that you could actually hand to a patient, or in an online version, which is now available to anyone to use. When we looked at the impact that patients, how had they actually used that information, many of them said, they used it for discussing with their families why they were choosing something that was kind of countercultural, which is surgery not first, as Evelyn's experienced, drug treatment first, because, you know, people trained 20 years ago. No, that's wrong. And that was something that was critical. And the other really critical factor, the project manager, if you like, that we use in Australia is the dedicated breast care nurses.
Thanks, Fran. I believe that's probably one of the important role models. So I think implementing breast care nurses is probably one of the cornerstones in overcoming some of the challenges that also Evelyn has faced. In terms of outcome, Evelyn, if I may ask, if I understand, you eventually opted for mastectomy. Would you share your experience with what difference it made for you that you basically took the decision yourself after an information process? And I would assume it was not a decision made from one day to the next. It might have taken some time.
Right. So because it has spread to the lymph node, lumpectomy was not really an option. So the advice given to me was mastectomy, but I have a choice of doing it just one side or both sides. I decided to go for both sides. Because the other side also has abnormal cells. It's not cancerous yet, but it's definitely not normal cells. So the advice given was from the best breast surgeon and approved or agreed by the oncologist is that it would be better for me in the long term. And also consideration that I'm still fairly young to have it both removed so that I do not have to, there's a possibility that it will relapse. So that shared decision between myself, the oncologist, and the breast surgeon was a joint effort, and I'm pretty happy with it. Of course, the plastic surgeon came into the picture eventually because he'll have to do the reconstruction.
But would you say that having empowered yourself and participated in that shared decision making process actually was of value in terms of not looking back in regret?
Absolutely. I as a patient and as my body, I definitely appreciate that all the facts were given to me and I was able to make the best decision based on my comfort level and what I will have to live with. But the empowerment, the option that I have and the open communication opportunity that I have with different people is definitely very useful for me.
On the caregiver side, there are obvious barriers to shared decision-making in terms of training, in terms of physicians' time, resources available, maybe access to some helpful tools. Professor Boyle, can you tell us your experience with that and with these decision aids? How can they be helpful and how can we implement them more broadly?
Thanks, Michael. And just like to draw some attention to the work of Dr. Nick Zenkowski from Australia. And he has looked at the different ways we can present information about things like risk and benefit using tools such as 100-person diagrams or the 100 dots or 1,000 dots if it's a rare side effect, and also a way of actually helping women to weigh up the different choices in terms of their own preferences. Having those available on paper is great, but having them available online is even better. And that neoadjuvant systemic therapy guide is now available online at myneoguide.com. And what that showed in his research was a reduced decisional regret. It helped patient quality of life, and it didn't importantly increase anxiety. Other very simple things you can do, just a question prompt list. You can make that up yourself with the team. You can use the ones that are available online, and we know that they also help to reduce patient anxiety.
Okay, thank you very much. So maybe in closing this segment, Fran, let's touch on what I always believe a kind of a delicate subject. I mean, we have scientific evidence about many aspects of breast cancer treatment. And what, in my experience, usually patients overestimate the risk, but they sometimes also overestimate the benefits of treatments we propose to them. So now, is there a difference between accepting patients' choice, even if it's wrong, or feeling the scientifically wrong, feeling the obligation to inform, to educate by using SDM methodology, or would that be an overly patronizing approach?
No, and I can say this as a menopausal woman who doesn't have breast cancer. I have experienced almost everything that people ascribe to their endocrine therapy. And so women are asked to come and see me when they don't want to do what somebody else wants them to do. And usually that is around endocrine therapy because it's the thing that goes on, you know, a long time. But it's putting yourself in that person's shoes, if you can possibly do that, and really just listening, asking lots of questions, making sure you understand, and then saying, you know, there's more than one way to do this. I want to want one more comment, if you don't mind, based on something Evelyn said. As well as breast care nurses, we found that having consumers who have been through the experience of breast cancer before, particularly around things like reconstruction, and are willing to talk to newly diagnosed women, is extremely helpful. And I have a patient recently who had a BRCA2 mutation, who really should have had bilateral mastectomies technically years ago when she had her first triple negative breast cancer, but wouldn't. And when she got her second triple negative breast cancer, it was on our agenda, of course, you know, you don't want to do this again. And it was only when she was able to talk to a woman who could describe in great detail day one, day two, day three, exactly how it felt. That really changed her attitude. And she came in the other day extremely happy with how the surgery had gone. And that's really another area that you can help resource for patients is consumers who are willing to share their experiences. Mm-hmm.
This concludes our segment on challenges around implementing shared decision making. Thank you very much both to Evelyn and Fran for sharing your experience and discussing this with us.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are two other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.